Welcome to Alt Universe Top 40. My name is John McMullen. For the next hour, we will listen to some records, talk about chart positions, and make some good-hearted adjustments that time and taste demand. On today's installment, we will hear a hit single by an artist whose first success in the music business was winning a typewriter, a stack of records, and an electric guitar from his favorite radio station as a teen. For our little slice of heaven at number 7, we will listen to the Ohio-born swing and blues band leader who reached the R&B top 10 5 times but never lived to see a composition of his become an arena rock anthem in the 70s. Later, we will examine a hit record by the British band that holds the American record for hitting the top 40 with the most hits while never hitting number 1. And finally, for our Hall of Perfection track, we will appreciate a song that is, in reality, one of the greatest American short stories ever written, a haunting piece of assumed fiction that now has its original handwritten lyrics stored in the prestigious William Faulkner Room at the University of Mississippi. But first, just as we always do, we begin with a single that, at some point, was perched at number 40. Some of these were on the way up, some were on the way down. Some hit number 40 for a one-week peak before taking a final breath. What kind of number 40 do we have today? Well, we start with a song written by an accomplished British jazz and reggae musician who, prior to his success in music, worked as a teacher at St. Paul's First School in Cramlington, England. While working as a teacher, this budding songwriter performed on weekends with a group called the Phoenix Jazzmen. The leader of the Jazzmen noticed that the teacher always looked like a bee whenever he wore a certain black and yellow striped sweater to their gigs, which was practically every time. After leaving both Cramlington School and the jazz band, the former teacher went to London and, in an early recording session with his new band, sat down on a piano keyboard with the tape actually running. Let's listen.
Those days are over. You don't have to show your body to the night. Rock!
Thanks in part to heavy airplay action reported to Record World 40 years ago from WCOZ-FM in Boston. That was Roxanne, written by former teacher Gordon Sumner, whose black and yellow striped sweater caused him to be nicknamed Sting by his former bandleader with the Phoenix Jazzmen. This record was released by the Police on A&M Records and spent 1 week at number 40 on its way to its eventual peak at number 32 in the U.S.
Alt-Universe Top 40.
Number 20.
Well, we just heard Roxanne by the Police. Exactly 40 years ago this week, WCOZ-FM in Boston was giving heavy spins to the LP that contained that track, Outlandos de Amor, even though Roxanne was not necessarily racing up the national charts. Also receiving lots of spins on WCOZ 40 years ago was the Rock and Roll High School soundtrack album released on Sire Records. The movie Rock and Roll High School chronicled the adventures of a group of teenagers at the fictional Vince Lombardi High School and starred PJ Souls, Vince Van Patten, and Clint Howard. The film also included appearances by the Ramones as themselves, singing a very catchy title song which did not make the American charts as a single, but charted in England at number 67. Another feature song on the soundtrack from the Ramones, I Want You Around, was reported by WCOZ in Boston as being added to their playlist, along with tracks from the Monolith album by Kansas and Cheap Trick's Live at Budokan. In Philadelphia, WIOC-FM was also giving spins to the Rock and Roll High School soundtrack, right alongside State of Shock by Ted Nugent and Touch the Sky by Carole King. With a song that certainly should have made it up to number 20, to which WCOZ in Boston and WIOC in Philly would have agreed, here are the Ramones with I Want You Around. Song that should have made it up to number 20. Those were the Ramones with I Want You Around.
The This one went to 11.
My name is John McMullen, and you're listening to Alt Universe Top 40. Now we're up to a song that really did reach number 11 on the Billboard charts. In fact, it was the number 11 single on the Billboard charts 40 years ago this week, thanks in part to the heavy action it was receiving from WIOC competitor WMMR-FM in Philadelphia. According to the same Record World Airplay reports that we researched for Roxanne and I Want You Around, during this week in 1979, Bad Company's Desolation Angels was getting the most album airplay from WMMR, followed closely by Supertramp's Breakfast in America. However, newcomer Ricky Lee Jones was not far behind those heavyweights with this catchy little folk rock song that she was inspired to write when her roommate Tom Waits took a call from another friend of theirs explaining his sudden and unannounced relocation to Denver. Coming in at number 11 on the Billboard Singles Chart 40 years ago today, that was Ricky Lee Jones with a part truth, part fiction ode to her friend, eclectic Los Angeles musician and poet Chuck E. Weiss, Chuck E.'s In Love.
Number 10.
For our last three songs, we have played records that were in some form of rotation in both the Boston and Philadelphia radio markets exactly 40 years ago this week. We might as well look at one more hot record for our song at number 10. As we just pointed out, Record World Magazine's airplay reports from this week in 1979 indicated that WCOZ in Boston was giving airplay to the Police and the Ramones. WCOZ's competitor in Boston, WBCN, was also spinning the Police, but according to Record World, receiving more airplay than the Police at WBCN were two other A&M artists, Supertramp and Joe Jackson, and also an Australian act signed to Epic Records, Flash and the Pan. Flash in the Pan was basically a studio project created in 1976 by Harry Vanda and George Young, who had been members of the group that reached number 16 on the Billboard charts back in 1966 with Friday On My Mind, the Easy Beats.
The morning was cold and lonely, city lights old and gray. The sun arose and tried to smile, gave it all away. The honky tonk called the stranger. The stranger couldn't pay the bill. Made a stand, raised his hand, sang a song. Took a chance, raised his hand, sang a song, now he's back in the game.
I said, hey, 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 Peter, I got a tale to tell. Just been down in New York town, it really feels like hell. It really feels like hell. I said, hey, 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 St. Peter. Hey, 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 St. Peter.
A single that should have at least reached number 10. That was Flash in the Pan with Hey St. Peter.
Number nine.
Now we are up to a song that really did reach number 9, sort of. And it is by a Baltimore native that received his first big break in music at age 17 when his mother submitted his demo tape to a contest at his favorite Top 40 station in the Baltimore area. Well, he won the contest, and his prizes were a stack of records, a typewriter, and a Vox electric guitar. And he put that electric guitar to good use. A few years later, in the summer of 1981, this contest winner was sitting at number 15 nationally with a single that reached number 9 on the KGB San Diego Airplay chart behind Steve Winwood and ahead of Kim Carnes. At the same time, his was third in added airplay action at WMJQ in Rochester, New York, and seventh in added airplay action at WQBK in Albany, New York. Having covered both coasts so successfully, we will certainly convert a number 9 airplay report into a number 9 national peak for the Greg Kinn Band and his first national hit single, The Breakup Song.
Been alright.
Coming in at number 9 on Alt Universe Top 40, that was the Greg Kinn Band with the breakup song.
Alt Universe Top 40!
Auden and Gray should have reached number 8.
Now we are up to a song that is truly modern and great and should have reached number 8. It is a cover of a Steely Dan song performed by the incredibly talented vocalist Susan Marshall. Back in 1994, Susan was originally signed to a recording deal with East West Records, fronting the band, The Mother Station. After a couple of years in the band, she began making albums her way. While focusing on her solo career, she has also been kind enough to put her exquisite background vocals on numerous recording projects, including her involvement with successful chart albums by the Screamin' Cheetah Wheelies and the Afghan Whigs. But the song we are about to hear displays her voice and her piano skills perfectly. Just listen to her take this song and completely make it her own. Here she is with her version of Dirty Work, a recording that is both modern and great, and one that should have easily reached number 8.
Times are hard, you're afraid to pay the fee, so you find yourself somebody who can do the job for free. When you need a bit of loving, 'cause your girl is out of town, that's the time you get me running, 'cause you know I'll be around. I'm a fool to do your dirty work, oh yeah. And I don't wanna do your dirty work no more. I'm a fool to do your dirty work, oh yeah. Light the candle, put the lock upon. The castle in a corner in some medieval game. I foresee terrible trouble, yet I stay here just the same. I'm a fool to do your dirty work, oh yeah. I don't want to do your dirty work, no.
That is modern and great and certainly should have reached number 8. That was Susan Marshall with Dirty Work.
Alt Universe Top 40.
Now we are up to our little slice of heaven at number 7. And it's a top 5 R&B hit from 1950 by an Ohio-born American jazz band and rhythm and blues band leader, composer, pianist, and drummer. Myron Carlton Bradshaw, more commonly known as Tiny Bradshaw, was born in Youngstown, Ohio on September 23, 1907. After his high school graduation, Tiny attended Wilberforce University, where he received his degree in psychology. But while still in Ohio, he began singing and playing drums with a professional music act, Horace Henderson's Collegians. Later, he moved to New York City as a drummer for the Savoy Bearcats, and then later as a singer for Lewis Russell. He then formed his own swing orchestra, which first recorded for Decca Records before switching to Manor Records. By this time, Tiny's music was closer to rhythm and blues than it was swing or jazz, and this led to a new recording deal with Cincinnati-based King Records. Between 1949 and 1955, Tiny had 5 chart hits on the Billboard R&B chart. However, in 1954, Tiny suffered a stroke, which left him partially paralyzed. He was able to resume touring in 1958 and even took part in recording sessions later that year. However, a second stroke was more serious, and Tiny was unable to recover from it. Sadly, he passed away in Cincinnati at age 51. Our little slice of heaven today is the song I'm Going to Have Myself a Ball from 1950, which was the second of his 5 top 10 R&B hits on the Billboard Rhythm and Blues chart. This record clearly shows that there was a close relationship between swing and rhythm and blues when it was Tiny Bradshaw that was responsible for the recording. Here is the late, great Tiny Bradshaw.
Well, for years and years, they say that money has been the root of all evil to a lot of men. But if you ask me to have my pick, I'll take the money, you can have the chick. I'm gonna have myself a ball, gonna have myself a ball, gonna have myself a ball. I sure don't know when you got to go. Every day a holiday. When you kick the bucket, it's just too bad. Life's too short, don't make it sad. Let's have ourselves a ball. Let's have ourselves a ball. Let's have ourselves a ball. I sure don't know when you got to go. You can always do, you can have yourself a ball. Yes, you can have yourself a ball. You can have yourself a ball. But you sure don't know when you got to go. Let's have a ball. Have a ball. Let's have a ball. But you sure don't know when you got to go. Let's have a ball. Let's have a ball. Let's have a ball. But you sure don't know when you got to go. Now money is short, time is long. If you had a ball, you can't go wrong. Had plenty of money when I started out, but the chicks beat me down, now I'm down and out. So I'm gonna have a ball. I'm gonna have myself a ball. I'm gonna have a ball. Cause I sure don't know when I got to go. I'll have a ball. I'll have a ball. Yes, I'll have a ball. Cause I don't know when I got to go. I'm gonna give you some good advice. Take this jive and take it twice. Take a little bit of that harder pay, but put some away for a rainy day. And have yourself a ball. And have yourself a ball. Go on and have yourself a ball. Cause you sure don't know when you got to go. If you have a ball, let's have a ball. Let's have a ball. Cause you sure don't know when you got to go.
With our little slice of heaven at number 7, that was I'm Going to Have Myself a Ball from 1950 by the late, great Tiny Bradshaw. Since our last broadcast, we have received messages from all around the world. Dino from Italy heard our 6070 broadcast on his Texon PL600 with custom wire. He sent us a short video of his radio receiving our show and reported 35553 for the duration of the broadcast. Thank you so much, Dino, for your report and your video. We will follow up shortly on your request. Enoch from Florida sent us a message on Mixcloud. He says, "What's up and how are things?" Well, Enoch, we appreciate your getting in touch with us on Mixcloud, and we will happily report to you that things are going quite well for us at the moment. Thanks for getting in touch. Jessica from the United States sends us greetings in an email. We don't know which show of ours she has heard, but she is very polite and wishes us good cheer. Jessica, we send our greetings to you and wish you well. Can you hear us? If you can, please send your questions, comments, and reception reports to us in an email addressed to john@altuniversetop40.com. We would love to hear from you.
This is Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 6.
Now we are up to our bonus hit at number 6, awarded to an act that has placed at least 6 albums into the top 40 of the album chart. And today's act has certainly done that. In addition to featuring a performance by an FM heavy album act, our bonus hit at number 6 happens to have been co-written by the songwriter and band leader that we just heard for our little slice of heaven at number 7, Tiny Bradshaw. We just mentioned that Tiny Bradshaw had 5 top 10 R&B hits. Over time, though, his best-known song has become Train Kept a Rollin' from 1951. It never charted in its original version by Tiny Bradshaw. However, in 1956, Johnny Burnett and the Rock and Roll Trio covered the song. It was this version that was heard by the Yardbirds, who then recorded their own version in 1965. That brings us to our act at number 6, Aerosmith. In 1974, Aerosmith covered the song for their album Get Your Wings because the Yardbirds were a favorite of each of the 5 members.
Thank you.
with our bonus hit at number 6. That was the Tiny Bradshaw song as interpreted by Aerosmith, Train Kept a Rollin'.
Number 5.
My name is John McMullen and you're listening to Alt Universe Top 40. Several weeks ago, we played the song Over the Top, which came from an album that was called Kick the Wall, released by Jimmy Davis and Junction. While Over the Top was the B-side of Jimmy's first single, also called Kick the Wall, his follow-up single was called Catch My Heart. At some point, distribution of Jimmy's release shifted from MCA to Chrysalis. By the time Catch My Heart was released as a single, Jimmy was a Chrysalis artist. A video was produced for this single, and the song received airplay on a number of progressive stations in the southeastern United States. Produced and engineered by Don Smith and the ever-present Jack Holder, here are Jimmy Davis, Tommy Burrows, John Scott, and Chuck Reynolds, collectively known as Jimmy Davis and Junction, with their second single, a record that simply should have made it up to number 5, Catch My Heart.
Standing on the ledge of love, over the depths of desire, standing on the edge above, passion's burning fire. On the other side, you hold the vantage ground. Can I cross the great divide off lover's leap in a single out of reach. So should I take the chance, toss up my heart just to see where it lands? If I clear the distance, can I put my faith in you?
Coming in at number 5 on Alt Universe Top 40, that was Jimmy Davis and Junction with Catch My Heart.
Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 4.
Now we are up to number 4, which usually means that we're going to play a song that did considerably better in England than it did in the United States. Sometimes the word considerably can be a relative term. This particular record actually did hit number 4 on the Cashbox charts in the United States. Yet, because it hit number 1 in England, we will interpret that achievement of topping the charts as having been considerably better than reaching number 4 on the Cashbox single survey or number 7 in Billboard. In addition to hitting number 1 in England, the song also hit number 1 in West Germany, Ireland, and on the Canadian Adult Contemporary chart. It hit number 2 in Belgium and Switzerland, and number 3 in Austria, the Netherlands, South Africa, and Spain. The song began its existence as a piano warm-up for the Irish singer-songwriter who released it, Gilbert O'Sullivan. But by the time it was released by the London-distributed MAM label, Record World reviewed the single this way, quote, "This 45 is his first real rocker, and the results are terrific. Highly reminiscent of McCartney, the tune will be an instant monster," close quote. Song on the Cashbox charts that should have been a number one in the United States just as it was in England, that was Gilbert O'Sullivan with Get Down.
Making changes that time and taste demand. This is Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 3.
Now we are up to our 3 from way downtown, and today we're talking about downtown Oak Park, Illinois. The band Off-Broadway was signed to Atlantic Records and released their debut album in 1980. Upon its release, Record World called it, quote, "one of the strongest debuts thus far in 1980," close quote. While its commercial results may not have lived up to its Record World review, it sold a respectable 200,000 copies and reached number 101 on the Billboard album charts. And from that album came the band's debut single, Stay in Time, which peaked at number 51 on the Billboard Hot 100. After early ads from radio stations such as WLIR in Long Island and KZEL in Eugene, Oregon, Stay in Time reached the top 10 of Chicago's WLS Weekly Music Survey. We believe that nationally, as a single, it should have reached number 3 in Billboard, Cashbox, and Record World. Here is Off-Broadway with Stay in Time. with our three from way downtown. That was Oak Park, Illinois band Off Broadway with Stay in Time.
Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 2.
Now we are up to number 2, which means we are going to play a song that we think should have reached number 1. And while the fusion of Beatlesque pop and classical orchestration on this particular release generated positive response, the chart activity on this record was remarkably inconsistent. The British band that recorded it had never had a hit in the United States prior to this release. Once this one began to catch on, the four most relied upon American charts could not even come close to agreeing on how popular the song actually became. According to Radio and Records, the song reached number 27. According to Record World, the song hit number 23. According to Cashbox, the song made it up to number 14. According to Billboard, it peaked at number 9. In England, the song completely failed to chart upon its original release. However, when it was re-released on an EP, it squeaked its way up to number 34. All of these random numbers aside, this single truly does sound like a number one record. Yet, the act that released it apparently was accustomed to not hitting number one, because this particular band holds the record for having the most Billboard Hot 100 Top 40 hits, 20, without ever having hit number one. Never mind those statistics. We think this one definitely should have gone to number one. At number two, here is the Electric Light Orchestra with their very first American hit single, Can't Get It Out of My Head.
Red light on the water. I saw the ocean's daughter walking on the way she came, staring as she fell my hand, and I can't get it out of my head. No, I can't get it out of my head. Now my
coming in at number 2 on Alt Universe Top 40, that was the Electric Light Orchestra with Can't Get It Out of My Head.
Number 1.
Now we are up to our Hall of Perfection track at number 1. And today's selection seemed to come out of nowhere to hit the top of the Billboard charts in the summer of 1967. It is a perfect recording of a haunting story that grabs the listener from its first few chords and never lets go. The song leaves the listener with questions that are never quite answered, and they likely never will be, since after interviews, television appearances, and even a movie based on the song itself, the gifted composer apparently has nothing further to say about it, retiring from public performance on May 11, 1981. The original handwritten manuscript of the first draft of the song is now located in the prestigious Faulkner Room at the University of Mississippi after the song's composer donated the two pages to the archive in 1972. In the original draft, there were extra verses that told a little more of the story, but the mystery is still in the air around the song. So who was the artist that sang this great American short story? It was the country folk singer born July 27, 1942, as Roberta Lee Streeter in Chickasaw County, Mississippi. Young Roberta lived with her grandmother in Mississippi until the age of 13 and began singing in church when she was very young. Her grandmother actually sold a cow to buy a piano for Roberta. Roberta taught herself to play guitar, bass, and banjo. Then she left Mississippi for California at age 13 to live with her mother. By that time, she was already making up songs and singing them. After high school, she attended the Los Angeles Conservatory of Music and began using the last name Gentry when she made coffee house appearances, along with her nickname as her first name, Bobby.
It was the 3rd of June, another sleepy, dusty Delta day. I was out chopping cotton and my brother was baling hay. And at dinner time we stopped and walked back to the house to eat. And mama hollered at the back door, y'all remember to wipe your feet. And then she said, I got some news this morning from Choctaw Ridge. Today Billy Joe McAllister jumped off the Tallahatchie Bridge. Papa said to Mama as he passed around the black-eyed peas, well, Billy Joe never had a liquor since. Pass the biscuits, please. There's 5 more acres in the lower 40 I got to plow. And Mama said it was a shame about Billy Joe anyhow. Seems like nothing ever comes to no good up on Choctaw Ridge. And now Billy Joe McAllister's jumped off the Tallahatchie Bridge. Brother said he recollected when he and Tom and Billy Joe put a frog down my back at the Carroll County Picture Show. And wasn't I talking to him after church last Sunday night? I'll have another piece of apple pie, you know it don't seem right. Sawmill yesterday on Choctaw Ridge. And now you tell me Billy Joe's jumped off the Tallahatchie Bridge. Mama said to me, child, what's happened to your appetite? Well, I've been cooking all morning and you haven't touched a single bite. Your brother Taylor dropped by today. Said he'd be pleased to have dinner on Sunday. Oh, by the way, he said he saw a girl that looked a lot like you up on Choctaw Ridge. And she and Billy Joe was throwing something off the Tallahatchie Bridge. A year has come and gone since we heard the news about Billy Joe.
mother married Becky Thompson. They bought a store in Tupelo. There was a virus going round. Papa caught it and he died last spring. And now Mama doesn't seem to want to do much of anything. And me, I spend a lot of time picking flowers up on Choctaw Ridge and drop them into the muddy water off the Tallahatchie Bridge.
With a song that the author herself said was primarily about indifference and the unconscious cruelty of the family when discussing Billy Joe McAllister at the dinner table, that was Bobby Gentry and her Grammy-winning landscape painting that takes the listener right to that sleepy, dusty Delta day, Ode to Billy Joe. Well, that's all we have for today. Please be sure to join us next week for another installment of Alt Universe Top 40. In the meantime, to check out our older episodes, simply download the Mixcloud app and follow Alt Universe Top 40. Also, you can follow the links on our website at www.altuniversetop40.com. As we mentioned before, we would love to hear from you. Please send your questions, comments, or reception reports to us in an email addressed to john@altuniversetop40.com. For our website and email addresses, those are all lowercase and 40 is a number. Until we meet again, keep making those good-hearted changes that time and taste demand, and keep on smiling through the static.